I guess we better get started as we do have a hard stop at 10. So you want to take over, Michael?
Okay. Is Marie Carmen on? So we had received some email from Marie Carmen Suarez-Aguera from the Ontology Engineering Group in Spain, who has had some experience working with the OMB group and was very interested in potential extensions to OMB. We were hoping that she would be on this morning. Okay, well, hello, Marie.
Hello?
Hello, Marie Carmen?
Yeah, it's me. sorry for the being late because we have some problems with connecting to this number.
Oh, well, welcome. Welcome to the group.
Thank you.
I'm Michael Gruninger. I'm kind of sharing the session today.
Okay.
I'd like to extend you a warm welcome to our little group here.
Yeah.
Could you spend just a few minutes to introduce yourself and also discuss briefly your interest in ontology metadata and its relationship to ontology repositories?
Yeah. I sometimes miss your voice. I don't know if it's is my problem or...
I think it might be Skype.
Okay.
Right, but Michael, it looks like even Marie Carmen calling from Spain is coming through quite well, so it could be your connection. And since you will be doing most of the talking, maybe it's helpful if we wait a moment and let you log out and try to log back in to see if you can get a slightly better connection.
Is this hi, Peter? I'm Michael back.
Yes.
Is this any better?
Slightly.
Okay.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Better than just now. So,
okay, so
go ahead.
Sorry for the delay. So, Marie Carmen, if you could you please give a brief introduction to yourself and also your interest in ontology metadata and the ontology repository.
Okay, yeah. So my name is Marie Carmen Suarez-Figueroa. I'm working in the Ontology Engineering Group that is led by Asunción Gómez Pérez, and I'm working mainly in the ontology development using methodologies and also using the patterns, and I also involved in some activities related with ontology evaluation. And, of course, I think to have metadata associated to ontologies is very important because we are our approach for building ontology is reuse as much as possible. So just to share these ontologies, you need to have the ontologies described at some point. For this reason, we are interested in the use of OMV vocabulary. And now we are also using or trying to use this vocabulary in one ISO committee related with terminology, ontology and terminology. So the idea is to also use this vocabulary to describe some ontologies with the terminology perspective, let's say. So we are trying to do this, and I think this kind of workshop to discuss about the OMV uses and future directions are very interesting in my case.
Are you working on any ontology repository work?
No, not yet.
Okay. And I'm just curious, are you working with a set of actual ontologies, or are you working at a more general level? So are you working on any specific ontologies?
I'm now involved in two different projects here in Spain. In one of the projects, we are developing ontologies for representing user context, information about the user, in order to use this kind of data for personalizing the services, for example. And in the other project, I'm working in an ontology about multimedia resources.
So one of the other aspects the Open Oncology Repository project here, is we welcome and encourage people to submit ontologies to the, what we call the sandbox repository. The more ontologies we get in there, the more experience we have on applying our use cases and potential concepts related to metadata. So we encourage you to submit any ontologies that you're working on or have had experience with to the sandbox.
Yeah, Peter Yim here. I have a question. I know your group was involved in the original OMV work. Were you there? Were you part of that group, or which of your colleagues were more closely involved?
Yeah, I was working at the beginning when the OMV was originated, let's say. And I was working during one year, more or less. And after that, one of my colleagues that now is not part of our group anymore is working in Poland now, that is called Raul Palma, was the main person, the key person on the developing of this vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. That still makes you our OMV expert in this group, I'm sure.
And now I'm also review this the current version in detail for this ISO committee. I think it is good.
Oh, absolutely.
Which ISO committee again? Sorry.
Is the ISO committee TC 37.
Yeah, 137. Okay. Is this the new proposal for interoperability language work item that is is that the new one that is still being reviewed or
John Bateman is?
Yeah, or is it a different one, because TC 137 has sort of many working groups.
Sure. Yeah, there are a lot of. I'm a little lost with these committees, but the idea with this is they have developed a kind of ontology of ontologies mainly with a terminology perspective, and the idea now is to align OMV with this ontology they developed.
So who's the chair of that committee?
Sorry?
Who's the leader of that committee?
I'm not sure. We are closely working with Bodil. I don't remember the surname.
Does Oasis sound familiar? The Oasis project from Bremen?
No, not really. The person we are working now closely in this committee is called Bodil Nistrup.
Could you type that into the chat room? Could you type that name into the chat room, please?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I'm a little... Okay, now this. This is the person we are working now closely in the analysis of both approaches, let's say. And I don't know if I have more information about this. I know this committee has a meeting in Seoul in June, I think. And maybe after this meeting, I can provide you more information about the progress and these kind of things.
Okay, good. I think this, Peter, I think this is distinct from John Bateman's
efforts
proposal.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good to know.
Right. Fantastic.
Okay. So moving on to, I guess, the technical content of today's discussion. I just have a brief summary here in the meeting page under opening. And in a lot of ways, the question we're trying to address, hopefully starting today, is very simple. or it's actually two questions, I suppose, but they're very simple, and they're actually empirical questions that we can answer by applying our use cases. So the first question, is the metadata that's specified currently by OMB adequate to support the use cases that we have proposed, particularly 10 that Foska has proposed for our group? And I have the URL for Ken's use cases there. And if the metadata in OMB as currently specified is not adequate, what additional concepts are needed or what extensions to OMB would be proposed in order to support these use cases? Now, as we discussed briefly, I think, in our first session on ontology metadata within this group, originally I tried to contact people related to OMB and other people who were working closely with them, for example, the BioPortal group. And to a great extent, they kind of felt that OMB is complete and, as it kind of stands, and that if the concepts that are not in OMB, such as relationships between ontologies, which I think they might call more mappings between ontologies, would actually be a sort of a distinct effort. So that you wouldn't be looking at extending OMB in any particular way. Rather, there'd be some other effort that would start to address the mappings between ontologies, or in general, relationships between ontologies. And so one question I suppose I had was, when we're talking about this, whether or not the metadata as currently specified by OMB is adequate. When I was thinking of what are the extensions that I would like to see, a lot of them were related to this idea of relationships between ontologies. So maybe this is something that would be perhaps a new direction that we could get the ball rolling and gather people kind of focusing on that sort of question. What kinds of relationships between ontologies do we need to have in a repository? That might give this question a fresher angle, rather than say putting it on, is OMB sufficient or not? Which I think people seem to have feeling that OMB is kind of a finished product right now. Either case here, these two questions, I say this is a sort of an empirical approach we can take here. I mean, because all we have to do is look at the use cases and determine whether or not what is in OMB is adequate or not. But one thing I'm a little concerned with is whether or not our use cases are specified to the right level of detail. Is it the case that we actually need to develop either the use cases a bit more or actually implement some aspects of OOR in order to really determine OMB is or is not adequate? So that's just a few opening comments there. And I just kind of want to generate some discussion. But before the end of today, one of the other more pragmatic issues is the amount of effort that we need to spend on getting this done. So just speaking from our perspective here in Toronto, right now we're very resource limited. We don't really have a lot of available time and or people to really do an in-depth analysis. This would ideally be a perfect summer project for a student. Unfortunately, I'm going to be starting my sabbatical in July, so summer is really almost over for me. I won't have any resources here. So hopefully by the end of today's session, we'll have identified some people who have the time, or at least a plan, or extend over some period of time over which we can attack these two questions. So I just open up for comments here. Yoni has a few comments here in the chat session. Yoni, maybe you could provide a little more context for these comments, please.
Yeah. So in Onki, we have designed like our own Onki metadata schema for ontologies, and by the time when we designed it, we weren't aware of the OMB vocabulary, so there's no interlinking, or we didn't use any properties from there, but of course it would be beneficial if they would be compatible. So if you take a look at the URL I pasted into the chat room, you can see some example ontologies, or actually all the ontologies at the moment in the Onki service. So basically the core properties are, well, the label of the ontology, shown in the user interfaces and somewhere else, and abbreviation and URL to the backend server, because we have like different backends and one frontend server. And then we have descriptions in different languages, of course, and documentation, URLs if there are some external wiki pages or some other references, and then some information if the ontology can be downloaded, so there's a Boolean value. And also we have some classifications for the ontologies, like this is natural science ontology and this is cultural ontology. And also something about the services. Does the ontology have a web service API available? And who is the publisher of the ontology? And languages the ontology supports? And when is the ontology published? And kind of basic stuff, but I think, I guess OMV has some of these. I'm not that familiar with the OMV. Yeah, thanks.
Do you have any other, so Marie Carmen also posted in the chat room, do you have any documentation that gives an overview of the range of concepts in ONCI?
I thought about it, and I think it's probably we don't have any. We have written something about in some papers, but not any figures I don't remember. I can take a look if I can find some.
Do you believe that there would be any possibility of doing what you were just saying before, of comparing ONCI with OMV in a you know, kind of a structural way here?
Can I compare it, or what was the?
Well, would you be able to put some time into doing a comparison and kind of reporting to our little group here with metadata and OR?
Yeah, definitely it would be nice, because it's, from our point of view, of course, it's very beneficial if we would make it compatible with the OMV, because it's like a standard. Yeah, I can make a little comparison and report it, yeah.
Oh, that'd be excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are there any other kind of comments related to any other ideas that people have had, say, since our last session on the relationship between what we're doing in our use cases and OMV? Have people actually, has anybody actually looked at the use cases since our last meeting and maybe done a preliminary appraisal?
Peter here, can I make one process comment and then another comment regarding your earlier opening? The process comment is, will everyone please type into the chat session so that it documents the proceedings as well? So we'll distribute this so that whatever you say, you try to type and capture into the chat board as much as possible, yourself, anyone. Okay. My other question is, you mentioned that the extension, or at least the additions to OMV, maybe the area that OMV did not cover, mostly relates to the relationship. But at the last meeting, we also discussed some about granularity, or in particular about ontology modules. I have not studied OMV in detail, but would that also be one area that we might want to focus in as well? And then maybe thirdly, anything that since OMV developed probably with OWL in mind, and with OR we are trying to support, in addition to RDF and OWL, we are trying to support at least common logic and possibly other languages, would the language difference also constitute some of the additions or extensions? I think neither of these could be reflected in the use cases. I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no. I think that the use cases are fairly sort of language independent, so we may not be running into these reviewing the use cases.
Two good points. I'm just typing them into the chat.
Thank you.
If we just address the modularity issue for a moment then. Right, so on the one hand, I think that a lot of people might consider modularity to be based on the idea of relationships between ontologies. One ontology becomes decomposed into some other set of ontologies, or some set of ontologies is combined as a set of modules to create another ontology. And so essentially you do have that sort of relationship of component composition, decomposition there. So people might actually say that that's
the same thing.
Modularity is a kind of relationship. But that also probably interacts a little bit with your other point about how the metadata is related to the languages. Because the notion of modularity that you see, that I've seen for a lot of owl ontologies is a little bit different than the notion of modularity that we've been using, say, in Colore. So there may be an interaction between those two ideas. So, Mike Bennett, when you're saying we're still working out what is the best formal approach to metadata or to these other ideas like modularity?
I was just picking up on the previous question, what metadata do we need to support modularity? I think maybe if I just describe what we're trying to do. So in the EDM Council semantics repository, we put in a number of middle ontology type of terms, both industry specific and industry neutral. So time terms and math terms on the one hand, and things like legal and accounting terms. And our commitment from the beginning was to try and find or use ontologies that are owned by industry standard bodies, such as XBRL, which is not strictly an ontology but has quite strong semantics. Now, in the initial draft that we've got, we've essentially got placeholders for all the terms that we need to either derive financial industry terms from or refer to in triples, in relationship facts about something. So hence all the accounting terms, geographical terms, units of measure, all those kinds of things. So we just informally put those in as placeholders with an explicit agenda to later on come back and replace these with external ontologies. And that's the work we're now doing in one of the work streams we just started yesterday, in fact, with the object management group. So we're looking at whether to have copies of the ontologies. We've got our own sort of additional decorative layer that isn't supported in OWL. I should clarify, sorry, the ontology itself is built using the OMG's ontology metamodel language, ODM, which allows us to put OWL and RDF constructs in UML tooling. So we don't have an OWL model, although that will be one of the byproducts of standardizing it. So we're looking at, do we take copies of existing OWL ontologies and then clone them into our upper ontology and dispose them around the upper partitions that we have? And alongside that, we're looking at, perhaps we'll use something like SCOS or something to identify when a term is broader than or narrower than the given term that we need to make reference to. I've deliberately tried not to preempt the decisions of how to do that. The intention was to get a group of experts together, which we now have. And by the way, this is open to anybody, so it would be really good if anybody from this group was able to join in on those discussions. Clearly, OMV is metadata at the ontology level, and that will be useful, but the main part of what we'd be looking at is you know, how we relate terms to each other. Also, further down the line, linking in the terminology standards, but we're not looking at that yet. So that's just kind of a broad overview of what we're trying to do, and clearly it's very very parallel with what's going on with the OOR, of course. You know, I'm wondering about things like, would there be ways of formally defining the level of ontological commitment of terms within different ontologies and things like that. So, yeah, that's the sort of thing I'm anticipating will drop out of this process.
What do you mean by level of ontological commitment? That's interesting.
Well, this is I wish if I knew the answer to that, we'd have we'd have it. I'm thinking about, you know, if you take, say, you know, so take the UN FAO ontology, which is a country level ontology. It's an industry body, it's authoritative. If a country changes its name, these are the people they write to. So it fulfills our criteria of what sort of ontology should we be using. So we should replace such terms as we have with ones that are in that. But now that's quite a simple ontology. What's the level of granularity of, you know, an element in the ontology versus the thing it represents in the real world? You know, when you look at different ontologies, they, you know, it's a given that they do have different ontological commitments. And I'm just thinking out loud. I can't quite picture it, but it would be great to be able to somehow be able to document or formalize that kind of thing. I mean, maybe that's trivial, I don't know, but it's worth thinking about.
No, that sounds interesting. Would you be able to provide a couple of examples of the ontologies that are being used there so we could make that notion of ontological commitment a little more concrete?
Sure. We've identified a few at the moment, and what we're going to do in the next session is come up with a kind of a policy of, you know, when we go out shopping for ontologies to use, which ones take precedence over which other ones, what criteria, like I was just saying about the FAO one and so on. So I've only got about three or four that are in there at the moment, but we want to replace as much as possible, if not all of our upper ontology content, with industry standard material, apart from business entities and legal entities, which we've sort of taken ownership of as our own industry problem.
So maybe we can use your case as a use case, I mean, use case in the sense of like software engineering rather than use case scenario as in like ontology summit, I mean, application cases.
Yeah.
If we take it to that level, maybe we can see what you really need. We can all see what you really need, and that would be very instructional to all of us.
Yes, I think so. I'll certainly do that.
Yeah, that'd be a great place to start there, yeah.
Yes, I see what you mean, and then see where OMV fits in. So yesterday's session, Elisa Kendall mentioned an ontology metamodel standard, and I assume it was OMV that she was referring to. I couldn't remember the initials at the time. I think what we're looking at is you've got that kind of metadata, and then you've got the more internal kind of metadata referring things to each other, and, you know, the approaches that John has suggested with his lattices and so on. So I can see that all fitting together to meet that use case.
Okay. So I'm just typing a couple of things related to Tim's comments. So actually related to Tim, so you're right. I mean, OMV does have an imports sort of relationship there. I guess it was kind of more the different ways in which ontologies can be included. So within Calore, for example, for Common Logic also has imports relation, CL imports, but we've typically found that there's a lot of other sort of implicit relationships that arise from that. Even if you're not explicitly importing a particular module, sometimes other modules allow you to make new inferences. And I say, even though the idea of imports within Common Logic is roughly analogous to just cutting and pasting the axioms from one into another, which is I believe similar to what OMV calls imports. Whereas what happens sometimes is with one module you can infer new sentences you couldn't infer before, and that ends up being logically equivalent to some other module. And so, you know, effectively from a deductive point of perspective, you end up being able to include a larger ontology even though you're not explicitly importing its axioms. Is that what you mean by extends? Okay. I would suppose another sort of relationship too is related to, I guess this is what maybe people like Natasha Noy would refer to as kind of mappings. So even though two ontologies are not importing either one, they actually have different terminology, different terms, there is either an equivalence between them or one ontology can interpret the other one. And like I said, Natasha kind of felt that was something that was not really part or even within the scope of OMV, just as Mike Bennett had here earlier, right, this OWL time and OMG's time model, we would want to be able to discuss how those are related to each other.
Mm.
So is there a kind of a common set of module, common time ontology between those two?
Yeah, the time one is an interesting one. I initially looked at the W3C time ontology and found a lot of things it didn't cover that would suggest, for example, in the FPML derivative standard for different ways of specifying and defining time periods and offsets and so on. I believe the OMG's work has made a lot of reference to that as well, so we're going to have to deduplicate our kind of current draft material from that, then work out what stuff is specific to our industry that would extend that ontology. Also, the guys at Mayo Clinic are doing some time work, and again, we want to try and see what they've got and whether there's anything that needs to be added. So, yeah, in terms of defining this whole universe of possible time terms, then identifying which ontologies have the authoritative source of which of them and how they're built out from that would be a very interesting use case.
I'm just wondering if, like, would it make sense to focus on a particular domain or a particular set of ontologies, such as time, and kind of use that to focus our efforts in terms of identifying metadata? I'm getting better at talking and typing at the same time here. Because time, so we've been doing a little bit of work on time. So there's the workshop and modular ontologies. This year's workshop, the paper deadline was this past month in April, and so there are we submitted two papers to that. One of which was related to time, kind of our experiments with putting together various time ontologies. Starting off with, say, Pat Hayes' technical report, the catalog of temporal theories, and taking a look at those theories again and revisiting them from the perspective of ontology repositories. So,
very useful.
Yeah, so maybe I could post a pointer to those. I mean, they haven't been accepted to the conference, though. We don't know what the results are yet, but I could still post our what you might call the preprints. Hopefully they'll be accepted. We could post our preprints on our website, and I could post a link to that so people can get an idea there. But that might be interesting to focus. So we have some experience with looking at that, at the time ontologies, and that might be a very interesting kind of a domain-specific way of looking at this. Because we'd be guided a little bit more kind of by a real example, like the efforts that you're talking about, Mike, with the derivatives requirements and OWL time and OMG and all the other relationships there. I like that.
Yes. And we're thinking of separating, in fact, when you say domain specific, we're actually using that word in a different way, because although I have them all in one flat layer at the moment, I would say that this is one reason why we didn't use some of the existing grand ontologies, is they go too domain-specific vertical too soon, because virtually every term in the securities world is either a specialization of or makes reference to terms in particularly legal, because all securities are contracts, and accounting because of the nature of them, and then refers to the geographical and so on. And then there's, I don't know what you call them, domain-neutral things like time and math, which and perhaps units of measure, which are not related to any industry.
Yeah, there was an analogy I kind of heard the other day. So when you walk into some, especially like pine forests that are say, managed, you know, say within the city or whatever, you walk into one of these forests and the trees, all their branches, lower branches have been pruned off, effectively. Mm-hmm. And so you have a nice big tree with nice big roots, and then you have this big trunk, and then at the very top you have all the branches. And so the analogy was that a lot of the work that people are doing with ontologies, I mean, even though people talk about mid-level ontologies, effectively, like you said, the mid-level is very sparsely branching. You have the kind of the foundational, the upper ontologies, and then you have the really domain-specific things with the top, but in between there, you just basically have a trunk. And to some extent, maybe that's just kind of missing. I guess some of the things that you're talking about here, these, for example, with time, are trying to address that mid-level a little bit more. And maybe that's another area to look at in terms of relationships between ontologies in a repository. Because one of the things that we also kind of noticed, too, is that there's a lot of work in the generic level. And you can talk about modularity at that level. But to really build a good repository, you need to have different levels of this abstraction, granularity, specialization, or whatever. So that might be another reason to look at time.
Yes, and we might find that we have industry-specific time challenges. Although, I mean, some of the folks from the OMG are saying, yeah, we could extend a generic time ontology with time terms that we alone need, but I'm a little skeptical of that because there's still kinds of time. So somebody sooner or later in a doctor's clinic or something is going to want to refer to the same kind of term that somebody needed to refer to when writing a derivative. It's still time. So I'm intrigued as to whether we end up with subtypes of time ontologies, as some people think, or whether we just enrich a time ontology because time is still time.
Right. So then which of the ontologies that you mentioned in your chat posts are of the form or can be say submitted to the OOR sandbox?
I haven't seen the OMG work yet, and although I'm told it's semantic, I presume since some of the ontology guys are involved that it will be an OWL ontology, but I don't know that for sure. So that's when it's done, should be something that could be submitted into the sandbox. The W3C time ontology, of course, I mean, it's a very simple one. FPML is an XML schema, so what we've done in our terms is reverse engineered some of those FPML terms into actual semantics, and of course simplified it as well, although it doesn't look very simple. So really it's and I think it's worth looking at the Mayo Clinic work. She's done a lot of interesting stuff on time. Again, I don't know what form that's in at this point in time, but at the moment I'd say let's wait for the OMG thing, and that should certainly be submitted into the OOR sandbox, and that might have everything in it, or it might not.
If it's something from more recent, from Mayo Clinic, it's quite likely that it will be acceptable in the OR sandbox because we are running BioPortal and Mayo Clinic is actually part of the NCBO team that developed BioPortal. So OMG, yeah. I don't know, but Mayo Clinic's work is quite likely acceptable.
Good. So we might need to deduplicate the
Okay, this is interesting. We have 10 minutes left. Are there, because I'm going to extract a couple of action items out of this little thread that we were just talking about now. Are there any other issues kind of related to this that people want to raise?
Peter wants to raise an issue unrelated to this when I have a chance.
Okay, so should I start summarizing up some action items now, and then we can address any other issues after?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Okay, so just one, before I kind of type in some action items, are there any other points that people have related to OMB extensions or metadata that we haven't covered so far, maybe with modularity? Any issues, particularly from Tim or from Marie Carmen?
Michael, this is Ken.
Oh, hey, Ken.
I actually was looking over the OMB versus this Anki.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the kind of gatekeeping information that is discussed in our use cases.
Can you speak up, Ken?
That the gatekeeping kind of use cases don't seem to be reflected in the OMB right now. So this is
okay.
Like status, who has the rights to an ontology, things like that. I don't think those are really handled by the OMB right now. So that may be an example of extensions that we would need.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, capture that in the chat. That's good.
Yeah, and it does seem like that's in Anki. It does have status and things that might actually like group. Like I think those actually would be the kinds of things I'm talking about. So I'll put that into the chat.
So I guess as an overall action item. Let's see. So I put in one action item, perhaps focusing on time ontologies as a test bed for exploring relationships between ontologies. Mm-hmm. I put time ontologies in there to be specific. We could broaden that to be any other of these efforts. I think looking at in that kind of a direction might be more helpful because my feeling so far is what we have within the sandbox is very loosely coupled. It's not the set of ontologies that would necessarily naturally engender questions of how are they related to each other sort of idea. Whereas focusing on a particular region of concepts, maybe use a Husserlian term, particular region of ontology like time, might help us focus these questions a little more. So there, I put in time, but are there any other sort of domains that people might also kind of see there, product or business processes, e-retail, that also might help us kind of focus some of these ideas. Yeah, again, the objective being to drive the identification of ontology relationships a little bit more.
I guess more recently, I mean, there are some efforts in the geospatial or geography-related ontologies. I guess that also sort of relates and makes use of a time ontology. So those relationships may become useful.
Right. I was talking with Gary Burr-Cross at the summit, and so he had mentioned that there is the spatial ontologies geospatial ontologies group. Project that the NSF project that he's working on, and I believe they're also part of OOR. So there may be maybe get some contributions from his group into the sandbox.
Yeah, and more recently, Pat Hayes was in Penn State for a few days. I mean, in giving a talk and also talking mainly about like geography related ontologies as well. So, so that could be one area. I mean, if we want to delve into a case and have people who could sort of chime in.
Okay, yeah, to contribute some geospatial.
Yeah, since you will be seeing Werner Kuhn, possibly John Bateman, very soon in Italy, so these things, you might bring these things up.
Okay. Okay, so given we only have a few minutes left, I mean, there is this overall action item, like I say, which is to address the two objectives I put on the meeting page at the beginning of the meeting. So we can still come up with some efforts there. I'm kind of a little more enthusiastic about actually looking at specific in regions of ontologies, whether it's time or geographical, geospatial, as a way of focusing some of this, because I find that actually, you know, gives the most focused questions. So unless there are any other action items that people want to put in there, if you could type them into the chat session. And Peter, maybe you have any other comments now.
Right, right. My other comments is, I mean, the main discussion earlier is on how to make a more complete set of metadata. I'm actually going the other way and say what would be a minimum set that would get us started to move, to implement into a gatekeeper. So, because the main difference, the only reason why we only have a sandbox and we don't have a production OOR is that we have not implemented gatekeeping. And one big piece of gatekeeping is requiring anyone who uploads an ontology to populate the metadata. So, I think besides the completeness, I mean, we might also want to work on a sort of minimum set that is a required set. Anyone who uploads something must give us this 10 pieces of information or 5 pieces of information. Can we sort of, as another action item, work on that so that Ken's group could actually get gatekeeping added to OR, and then we can stand up another instance, what we call a production OOR, that will be persistent. And once people upload there, I mean, we will guarantee that it will be persistently available forever and ever.
That's a good one too, right? Yeah. So get that into the chat as an action item, and then I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I already did, but we need to, yeah, do we want to discuss, or we could put that in delegate someone to work on this small piece or something? Or defer it to next meeting?
If you have any volunteers today, that'd be good, At worst case scenario here is identify somebody by the next metadata session. We need to have a champion. You're right. We need to have a champion for that.
Yes.
Okay. We're out of time. So barring any last minute comments, thank you everyone. For contributing that. Actually, the discussion really got going there about halfway through. I was so pleased. Welcome again to Marie Carmen. We hope you'll be able to participate regularly in our meetings. Welcome aboard. And thanks for everybody in the contributions in the chat session. And talk to everyone at our next OR meeting or if not, our next metadata workshop.
Okay. Before we leave, next week, Ken, are you and Todd ready to do another architecture API session next Friday?
I can't speak for Todd, but I'm available.
All right, great. Then next week we will do architecture and API. Then when will we be doing the next metadata? Can we alternate? Because I think this is just as crucial to move the thing forward, or at least to the extent that we have identified this minimum set so that gatekeeping can move forward.
Okay, I guess that could be the topic for our next metadata session.
So could we do that? Let's say next week is architecture API, and then the week after that we do metadata again?
Okay.
So That would be the 27th.
Yeah. Is that okay for people? That's your long weekend, isn't it?
Is it a long weekend?
I think it's your Memorial Day weekend, isn't it? Is that okay for people?
Yeah.
My long weekend's next week in Canada. Okay, well, we'll say that then. We'll say the 27th.
Right, and if anything comes up and we need to postpone, will the chair please notify me, and then I can get a message out to the group.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Great. That's it. Bye.
Okay. Talk to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.